The world is in turmoil. Are you being strong and courageous? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with some encouragement today.
None of us, under the sound of my voice, want to be known as a coward. Webster defines cowardice this way: it's one who shows disgraceful fear or timidity in the face of danger and difficulty. No one wants to be that person. That man, that woman who's a coward, who shrinks back in fear when the difficulty comes. We want to be brave and we want to be valiant. And God is saying, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous.
There is truth, there is truth, there is grace, there is hope.
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today begins a study of the book of Joshua in his series, Rising to the Challenge. Moses has died, and Joshua is now the new leader of Israel. What would you do if you were to follow Moses? Would you be courageous? Well, needless to say, Joshua has some big shoes to fill. So he must rise to the challenge, and he must trust the Lord and walk by faith. If you have a challenge in front of you today, and who doesn't, and it seems insurmountable, God put you here today for this message. Open your Bible to the book of Joshua as we begin the message in the series and start in chapter 1. God's Word has much to teach us in this message called How to Be Strong and Courageous.
I like what Eddie Rickenbacker said about courage. He was the American fighter pilot during World War I. He said, courage is doing what you are afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you are scared. George Patton said this, courage is fear holding on a minute longer. Every one of us in this room, we faced fearful things. And God is saying, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Now, we're kicking off a new series today on the book of Joshua. Joshua is the book of conquests. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses dies, and the Lord buries Moses. He lets him see the promised land. Moses so wanted to go in the promised land, but he couldn't go in because he had dishonored God, and God said, no, you're not going in. I'll let you see it, but I'm not going to let you enter into it. What you're going to do, Moses, is you're going to pass the mantle of leadership on to Joshua, and Joshua is going to lead the people in. So Joshua is now on the scene. Moses is gone. Here comes Joshua, and Joshua has gigantic shoes to fill. Moses has been the leader for over 40 years. Moses is the one, the Bible says, that God spoke to face to face. Never been a prophet like Moses. Because the Lord would speak in visions and dreams, but with Moses, he would speak to him face to face. Remember, Moses would go inside the tent and his face would glow as he talked to God. And you have to follow that guy. You have to be the guy coming behind Moses. Joshua, no doubt, is scared. And the Lord is going to tell him, be strong and courageous. And we can learn through his story how we ourselves can be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, the scripture says this, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, that was to the east, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, that's the Mediterranean Sea, will be your territory. So he's saying, hey, you see out in the north and the south and the east and the west, this is your territory. He says in verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Here's the first time. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Second time he says it to him. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the preamble to the book of Joshua, God speaking to Joshua. Three times he tells him, be strong and courageous. When Moses prayed for Joshua and was passing the mantle of leadership onto Joshua, Moses said to him twice, be strong and courageous. At the end of chapter 1 of Joshua chapter 1, the people say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Six times it's told to Joshua to be strong and courageous. Now, why do you tell someone be strong and courageous? Are they already strong and courageous? If they're already strong and courageous, you're not going to say that to them. You say that to someone who is struggling with being strong and courageous, who is looking at the job assignment and starting to shrink back in fear. Sometimes we look at these guys in the Bible and we think, well, man, I never could be like that. I mean, that guy, David whipped Goliath when he was just a kid. I don't have faith like that. I don't have that kind of courage. I don't have that kind of bravery. But most of the people that God uses, they don't have it. They would come before the Lord and they'd say like Moses. Moses told the Lord when the Lord called Moses, he said, Lord, you need to send somebody else. I don't have the goods. I'm not able to do this. I'm not a good speaker. Remember when he said that to the Lord? I can't speak. I can't lead. I can't do this stuff. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And so Joshua was called and the Lord said, be strong and courageous. And God tells him how. And in telling Joshua how to be strong and courageous, he's telling you and me how to be strong and courageous. So if you're here and you're thinking, you know, I deal with fears and I'm not very courageous and I feel like I'm a coward. Well, God doesn't want you to be that. So how can you be strong and courageous? Three steps that we find in our text. Step number one, believe what God has promised. If you want to be strong and courageous for the Lord and stand up for His word, His will, His ways, believe what He has promised. Now, what had God promised? He made promises way back when to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, promises about a land that He was going to give him. Abraham, leave your country and your people and go to a land that I will show you. It's the beautiful land. It's the glorious land, it's called in Scripture. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. It's the land of Canaan. It's the land of Israel that God was going to give to Israel. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that lineage, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so the land of Israel is the land that God promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and then came to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And that's why we talk about the sons of Israel. The sons of Israel, the children of Israel, are just the descendants of Jacob. And they were going to inherit the land. And God had promised that. Land is really important in the book of Joshua because they're going to go cross the Jordan River and they're going to go get the land. Now, remember this, the land is not a vacant piece of property. There are people who live there. There are giants who live there. And when the people had an opportunity with Moses, when they were camped at the south, Kadesh Barnea, they had only left Egypt for about a year and God was leading them into the promised land. They didn't go. Because they said, well, we can't go. There are giants in that land. We need to go back to Egypt. They were so afraid. There were only two of the 12 spies who had faith, Caleb and Joshua. And the Lord said, everyone else is going to die, 20 years old and upward, and you guys are going to march around for 40 years in the desert going nowhere, just marching around in circles till everyone dies, and then I'm going to bring your children into the land. And the only two people that were over 20 that got to go in the land, Joshua and Caleb. But it's the land that God had promised, a great land, and it was theirs for the taking. Look what he says in verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. That's your land. You have to go get it. It's already been given to you, but now you have to go get it. And the people that are there aren't just going to run away from you. You're going to have to fight them. But Joshua, I have promised that you're going to lead the people and you're going to give them the land. Now, what in the Christian life corresponds to the promised land, to this land flowing with milk and honey? Some have said, well, that's heaven. That's what you get when you die. And we have lots of hymns that were written about on Jordan's stormy banks in the sweet by and by. You know, it's kind of like, well, that's the land, the promised land is heaven. But the promised land isn't heaven. It's not a picture of heaven. The promised land is a picture of the Spirit-filled life. It's a picture of the life with the Lord where you experience it to the full. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. That's the promised land. It's the abundant life that the Lord wants you to have. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has blessed us already with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's already in your bank account, every spiritual blessing. But many of us don't live like we have every spiritual blessing. Why? Because we're not believing that God has done that for us. And we're not living a life of victory because we don't believe His promise. He has given that to us. Now, to live a life of victory and to live a life that is abundant and overflowing, a life flowing with milk and honey, that means that you're experiencing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the Spirit-filled person is experiencing that inwardly, regardless of what's going on outwardly. Now, in order to have that, there's going to be a fight because the devil doesn't want you to have that. The thief, he comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And he's trying to steal all those things that God wants to you to experience, that God has given you, that God says, now you need to claim those things and you need to take those things. And the devil's trying to tell you, no, you don't have those things. You'll never have those things. He puts a giant in your path and that giant is there to scare you, just like Goliath was there to scare the Israelites and to scare David. And the devil does that all the time. And so we deal with giants. We deal with the giant of lust. We deal with the giant of greed. We deal with the giant of insecurity. We deal with the giant of jealousy. We deal with the giant of bitterness. All those things keep popping up, and we have to keep going after those giants to experience the fullness of God. That's what He wants for us. And the key to experiencing that, the abundant life, the key is this: God has promised to us His enduring presence. That's what He has promised. Now, He said to Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because I'm with you. I'm with you. Now, God's presence makes all the difference in the world. And God has promised, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, He's promised to come in. And He says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit, and He will be with you, and He will be in you, and He will be with you forever. He won't leave you. You know, David said in that great psalm, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. God being with you makes all the difference. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 is the New Testament passage that corresponds to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. The scripture says this: let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? He says, I will never desert you. That means to relax my grip on you, to drop you, to let go of you. Nor will I ever forsake you. That means to abandon you, desert you, leave you behind. God says, I'm never going to do that. And in the Greek, New Testament, Hebrews is written in Greek. There are five negatives in that. God says, I will not, never, never leave you. I will not, never forsake you. It's the emphasis of God saying, you can take this to the bank. I'm going to be with you. And when God is with you, as the scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So Joshua's going up. He's going to have to fight giants. He's going to have to go up against warriors. He's going to have to go up against some vicious, ruthless people. He can't do that in and of himself, but he can do that if the Lord is with him. As Jeremiah said, who was facing all kinds of difficulty in his life, he said, the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Nobody messes with the dread champion. Debbie and I had the privilege last week of having Lyndon, our four-year-old granddaughter, spend the night. It's her first time to ever spend the night. Emmy was in, she and Jay went to California to spend some time with Jay's sister. And so Jill was just with Lyndon. And so she was looking for, a night with no Lyndon. And so she, I would be too. And Lyndon's all over the place. And so she said, Lyndon, you want to spend the night with Gigi and Poppy? And you know, I'm Gigi. You know, that's the way she worked it out. They got that reversed. And so Debbie's Poppy, I'm Gigi. And so she spent the night. And she did so well until it got time to go to bed. And then we put her in bed and she said, I see monsters. We said, no, there are no monsters. I see monsters. I said, well, they're not here, so you don't need to worry about monsters. Poppy, I see monsters. And Gigi, I see monsters. I said, well, Lyndon, what if Gigi stays in bed with you until you go to sleep? She said, that'd be good. And so Gigi stayed in bed with her. And she wasn't afraid of monsters. She didn't thrash about. She just went right to sleep. Why? Because her grandfather was there. And she knew that, hey, if Gigi's with me, I don't need to be afraid. The Lord said to Joshua, I will be with you. And no one will be able to stand before you because I am with you. And the Lord says that same thing to you and to me today. Don't be afraid. You look to me. I will be with you. God promises his enduring presence. So that's the first step. Believe what God has promised. He's promised us a life of victory and abundance. He's promised that he will be with us every step of the way. Second step, obey what God has commanded. So we believe what he has promised, then we obey what he has commanded. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. God gave commands through Moses to the people. Commands are written in the law of Moses. First five books, that's what the Jews called the law of Moses. And so God, the first five books of the Bible have a lot of commands. Exodus, Leviticus, a lot of commands that they were supposed to follow. And God says, do all that I have commanded you to do. Now remember this, God never gives suggestions to be considered. He gives commands to be obeyed. God didn't give the 10 suggestions written on a whiteboard with dry erase markers. He gave the 10 commandments etched on tablets of stone written by the finger of God. The commands of God are to be obeyed. There's one response to the commands of God for you and for me, and that is two words, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, the command comes. What are we supposed to do? Yes, Lord. And that's not a suggestion for us to ponder. The Lord's commands aren't like the food at the cafeteria line where you walk through and you see all these different salads and all these different entrees and all these different desserts. Well, you don't get one of everything. Hope not. But you just say, well, they have beets there. I just don't like beets at all. And so I never get beets. And so it's like, I don't want that. I don't want pea salad. I don't want this stuff. I don't want Jell-O. And so people do that with the commands of God. Oh, that's like a beat to me, Lord. I don't want to do that. And tithing, no, I'm not going to do that. And saving myself from marriage, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And we throw all those things out. Hey, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? It's a contradiction. How can I be your Lord if you are denying me? So God never gives suggestions to be considered. He only gives commands. And he says, be careful to do according to all which Moses commanded. So here's the question. Are you obeying all that the Lord has commanded? Is there an area of your life where you know you're living in disobedience to God's clear command? How about this one? How about with forgiving someone who hurt you? The Bible is very clear. Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their transgressions, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So it's a command. You have to forgive. Forgiveness isn't for the other person, it's for you. Because if you don't forgive, your heart is going to be filled with bitterness and corruption and rottenness, and it will eat you alive.
Truly a great warning to take God's commands very seriously. Today's lesson was part one of the message entitled, How to Be Strong and Courageous, and we'll have part two tomorrow. It's from Pastor Jeff's 10-lesson series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. And you can get a copy of this series at fromhisheart.org. Sometimes the challenges we face in life become sticking points to our spiritual growth. They're obstacles toward maturing in the faith and keeping us from being all that God wants us to be, that He created you to be. The fact is, when it comes to our Christian lives, there are some specific issues that can hinder our faith, issues that become major sticking points to us all if we're not careful. To help you overcome these sticking points in your spiritual life, we're offering a powerful series from Pastor Jeff Shreve this month that can help. Not surprisingly, it's entitled, Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. It's full of key insights into the impediments that keep us from living a life full of faith and a deepening relationship with Jesus. This four-message series is our special gift of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. Now, one of the messages in this series is about the power of guilt and how it can become overwhelming. If guilt is overcoming your life, and you'll want to get this series that also includes a special booklet from Pastor Jeff entitled Not Guilty. You can make your gift for the series and the booklet when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series Sticking Points. You can get it on a USB flash drive, MP3 download, CDs, or DVDs, plus the bonus booklet, Not Guilty. Your support allows From His Heart to be on this station and hundreds more around the nation each and every day, plus around the world too. So thank you for your faithfulness as together we're reaching the world for Christ. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be right back here tomorrow for part two of this first message in the timely series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. Here's part of what we'll learn then.
Now, some of us are not very strong, spiritually speaking. Why? Because we're not eating. You come to church once a month, maybe, once every 6 months. You're not spending any time in the Word of God. The only time you hear the Word of God is when you come to church, hit and miss. And you say, well, I don't have any spiritual strength. Yeah, because you hadn't eaten in 6 weeks. And you're not going to be very strong if you don't eat in 6 weeks.
Join us Tuesday for the lesson, How to Be Strong and Courageous, when we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. And this year, we're celebrating our 20th year of broadcasting the truth and love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.